It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Republican Troy Balderson and Democrat Danielle O'Connor are separated by less than a point, Balderson leading by just over 1,700 votes.
I'm going to promise to you that I'm going to work relentlessly for this 12th congressional district. America is on the right path, and we're going to keep it going that way.
We made our case for change. We're going to make that case tomorrow. We're not stopping now.
Now, Ohio's Secretary of State says there are some 8,000 potential votes yet to be tallied. Election boards will begin counting those on August 18th. To Kansas we go in the Republican primary for governor. Also too close to call, President Trump's pick of Secretary of State Kris Kobach with a razor-thin lead against incumbent Governor Jeff Collier. That would be a major primary upset. Over in Michigan, President Trump tweeted congratulations to the Attorney General Bill Schuette, who won the GOP primary for governor, predicting a big win in November and in the Senate race there. Iraq war veteran John James, backed by the president, will face Democrat incumbent Debbie Stabenow. The president calling James a future star of the Republican Party. And finally, in the show me state of Missouri, Attorney General Josh Hawley will face incumbent Democrat Claire McCaskill in one of the most hotly contested races in November. And guys, back to that special election in Ohio. A little fact. Whoever wins today or in the coming weeks will face each other again in November, so it ain't over yet.
Thank you, Griff Jenkins, for giving us a run through all the races we've been talking about so that you know right up front what happened last night, sort of. Sandy Rios in the morning, thanks for joining. I bet you voted yesterday, didn't you? Those of you in the election primary states. And I want to talk to you a little bit more about some of the details. Griff gave us a great overview, but let's go into it just a little bit more. In Ohio's 12th, remember this is the race between Troy Balderson and Danny O'Connor. Remember that Troy Balderson was the not the conservative Republican candidate, but he's the one that prevailed. He's John Kasich's pick. This was John Kasich's seat a number of years ago. So that tells you something about the kind of Republican Troy Balderson is. Nevertheless, President Trump came in because he didn't look very good for Troy Balderson. So President Trump came in and did a rally last week. And so, you could arguably say that President Trump made the difference in this. Meanwhile, John Kasich weighed in. It's interesting to me that John Kasich, when he weighed in to criticize President Trump for coming into the district, not to stump for Troy Balderson. It's almost as though, he has become a very embittered man. He's not the man he used to be. And instead of, cheering on his candidate, it was as though he sort of hoped his candidate. All right, I'm extrapolating my views here, projecting my views. I think that, John Kasich seemed to have been sort of wishing that Balderson would not win because he didn't want President Trump's help. So it's interesting. Now, Balderson is not the declared victor yet because right now it's 50.2% to 49.3% against Danny O'Connor, the young Democratic, very liberal, very energetic. You heard in that clip, Troy Balderson's not a great candidate. I have to say, I don't think he doesn't have much, as President Trump would say, low energy. And I'm not sure, I'm just not sure. I think if you had to say why this race is so close at this point, surely that's part of it. Troy Balderson is not a very inspiring candidate. Now, and Danny O'Connor is. I mean, you listen to him and even if you totally disagree with him, he inspires people when he speaks. Now, in the sense of the details of this race, Griff mentioned a little bit of it, but let me go into it. The vote may come down to provisional and absentee ballots, but they can't even start counting those until August the 18th, which is interesting. I don't know why, but they can't. The County Board of Elections reported that 3,435 provisional ballots were cast, and there were 5,048 outstanding absentee ballots. So that could swing the election. You know, it could. We just don't know. So, and if the vote count at that point, after counting the provisional and absentee ballots, is within a half percent, a recount could be triggered. So, but if Balderson prevails in this, as Griff mentioned, this is a special election to replace or to fill the seat of Pat Tabiri, who was the Ohio congressman who stepped down. I don't know why, but he did. He left, and he's left his seat vacant. So this is a race to fill that seat until the general election in November, and actually literally till January when the new session of Congress comes in. So Balderson, if he should prevail, will not have much time in that seat before he has to defend it again in November. And likely Danny O'Connor would challenge him again, given the closeness between the two of them. And Danny O'Connor has lots of money. You can imagine that the Democrats wanted to win that seat, and they put a lot of money into Danny O'Connor winning it. So we won't know for probably several weeks here who the real winner of that race is, but at least Danny O'Connor. At least for Troy Balderson, he can claim somewhat of a victory. The president has congratulated him, but I don't think that makes it so. I'm sure it doesn't make it so. I also want to point out that in that 12th district, remember, we mentioned this in passing, but it's worth reminding you, Troy Balderson was not the pick of conservatives, and yet Congressman Jim Jordan went into that district and stumped for him, also raised money for him. And remember that Congressman Jordan was at that rally in Ohio where President Trump went to feature Troy Balderson, and President Trump ended up calling up Congressman Jordan, and remember the crowd began to chant, "Speaker of the House, Speaker of the House." It was really an incredible moment. Well, here's the thing. Congressman Jordan, this is a good example of what I was explaining yesterday. Congressman Jordan is running for Speaker of the House. And he understands that Troy Balderson, even if he might not be a rock-rib conservative, is a Republican vote, and the Republicans need to maintain control of the House of Representatives. And if they don't, there'll never be a Jim Jordan speaker, and there will never be the House of Representatives will not be swung to the right to represent the American people. It just won't happen. It'll be interesting to see, won't it? If Troy Balderson prevails in this, it will be interesting to see if he goes into that seat, he would probably take that seat for early part of September, would he feel some sort of respect for President Trump and his policies, or Jim Jordan after he's stumped for him? Would he be persuadable, or would he be a hardline John Kasich opponent? I just don't know. He certainly didn't claim to be an opponent while he was running of President Trump and his policies, but it's all very intriguing, so we'll have to find out what happens there. Another story, of course, is in Michigan. Let's go there next, because in the race for governor on the Democratic side, yesterday we talked to my good friend whose name I can't remember. We talked to him about Abdul Al-Sayed, Phil Haney, Abdul Al-Sayed, who is really, no question about it, totally linked to the Muslim Brotherhood. A lot of concern about that because they are state sponsors of terrorism. They are, and we know that their intent is to infiltrate and overturn our government from within. We know that from documents from the Holy Land Foundation trial. Yet Abdullah Sayed is a doctor, is well-spoken, presented himself well. He came up with 34% of the vote, but Gretchen Whitmer prevailed with 49% of the vote. That's in the Democratic side of the governor's race. So Al-Sayed did not prevail, but that's a pretty significant percentage, I think. On the GOP side, Bill Schuette was the victor, and this was a four-way race between Brian Kelly, Patrick Kolbeck, and Jim Hines. Pat Kolbeck got 13%, Brian Kelly got 24%, and Bill Schuette got 50%. He got half of the votes in a four-way race, so that's a pretty strong showing. So it will be Bill Schuette and Gretchen Whitmer in the November general election. Then in Michigan, another exciting thing for conservatives is that John James won the nomination to run for Senate. Let me tell you something about John. He's an Iraq war veteran. President Trump has called him a potential Republican star. He would be the first black Republican in more than 30 years to run for a major statewide office in Michigan. He beat out Sandy Pensler, an Ivy League educated buyout specialist with lots of money. I think it's interesting that John James has the endorsement from Right to Life and Michigan Chamber of Commerce and the Senate Conservatives Fund. That's because they're kind of strange bedfellows. They really are. I'm going to go into this. Let's just say that the Chamber of Commerce is the odd man in that column. Although sometimes state-level chambers of commerce are much more America-first friendly than the National Chamber of Commerce, so that might be the case in Michigan. I don't know. But I thought you might enjoy hearing a little bit from John James. He has to go up against Debbie Stabenow. She is a fierce incumbent. She's got great name recognition. She has tons of money. So whoever won the Republican primary was going to have their hands full. It's going to be John James. Let's listen to a little bit of what he had to say.
Debbie Stabenow has turned her back on all of Michigan. And whether you're talking about suburbs or rural or urban Michigan, she's failed all of us. The progressive agenda pits whites against blacks. It pits haves against the have-nots. It pits left against right. We are all American.
So that's a little bit of what John had to say, John James, as he won the Republican nomination last night. And then he went on to talk about other things. Let's listen.
We need more combat veterans on the floor of the U.S. Senate who understand how to keep this nation safe. You're not going to get that from a 43-year politician. We also need to do a better job reintegrating our veterans back into the workforce. The toughest battles that our veterans face shouldn't be when they get off the battlefield. We need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to take care of our veterans. This is something they've earned.
God bless John James. You know how I long for us to stop talking about race and start talking about the fact that we are brothers and sisters, American brothers and sisters. Of course, that also applies to our position in the body of Christ, but for this moment, I'm talking about American citizenship, and we are all Americans. We are in this ship together. We should not be looking at each other according to race or ethnicity. Not that you forget about that. Those are our beautiful differences, but we are united in our citizenship. John was, by the way, a West Point graduate, decorated combat veteran. He flew Apache attack helicopters in Iraq, and he came back to Michigan to take over his father's business, which is called the James Group. So that's John James. And he's going to have a tough race, but you know what? He's so charismatic, he just might pull it off. So that's what's happening in Michigan. Meanwhile, in the state of Kansas, Kris Kobach is ahead of the incumbent, Jeff Collier. Now, Jeff took over after Governor Sam Brownback stepped down to go work for President Trump. And so a lot of Republicans around in the White House tried to discourage President Trump from endorsing Kris Kobach because he's such a rock-rip conservative. We have time for that report. Dan Springer, let's listen to Dan because Dan kind of spells it out. Let's listen.
Here in Kansas, all eyes are on the governor's race and more specifically the Republican primary. A lot of people see this as a microcosm of the larger battle within the Republican Party nationally. On one side, you have the party establishment candidate represented by the incumbent governor, Jeff Collier. He was the lieutenant governor for 7 years. Then he took over for Sam Brownback in January when Brownback took a position in the Trump administration. He's supported by the State Farm Bureau, the National Rifle Association, and the dean of Kansas GOP, Bob Dole, longtime Senate leader and, of course, the presidential candidate back in the 90s. Collier supports President Trump's agenda, but he strikes a more moderate and measured tone. He's been running neck and neck with the Kansas Secretary of State, Kris Kobach, who is aggressively anti-illegal immigration. Some have described Kobach as, quote, being Trump before Trump was Trump. He became known nationally when he got a law passed requiring people to prove their U.S. citizenship before registering to vote. It also forced voters to bring identification to the polls. A federal judge, by the way, a federal judge who was appointed by President Bush, struck it down as unconstitutional.
All right, I'm going to interrupt that report, but you get the gist of it. So Kris is prevailing so far, but he's only ahead by 0.2 of a point. But that's a pretty stunning race, given that he's beating an incumbent. All right, so that's kind of the quick rundown. I would love to hear from you. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. What did you see last night?
When our health insurance renewal notice arrived last fall, my wife and I made the decision to drop our plan. With the monthly premiums and deductible, we'd have to pay $30,000 just to use it. So we did our homework and switched to MediShare. The cost savings are incredible, over $500 a month, and we don't have to pay for services we don't need or don't agree with. Then, out of the blue, she had to have emergency surgery. Scary stuff. $150,000 in hospital bills, and MediShare members took care of everything. All we paid was our small portion. I'm a doctor who's been in healthcare for 20 years, and this is one of the most impressive programs I've ever seen. Thank God she's fully recovered. And now we're telling everyone about MediShare.
Call 855-PSALM-23 to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. MediShare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
I read some of the comics and they really touched my heart. Thank you so much for the Truth for Youth Bible.
It's Truth for Youth Bible Week. And this year, American Family Radio, Engage Magazine, and Revival Fires International are partnering to give God's Word to our nation's youth. Parents, order a free Truth for Youth Bible for your teens to pass on to a friend. Or teens, you can order a Bible for a friend. And youth leaders can order Bibles in bulk for just $2 apiece.
We saw so many lives changed and seeds planted in the hearts of our students.
Visit truthforyouth.com or call 800-733-4737 between 8 and 4:30 Central Time. That's 800-733-4737. Order a free Bible for your teen to pass on.
It's like, man, I really like the Truth for Youth Bible. How do I get to your church?
Call 800-733-4737 between 8 and 4:30 Central Time or visit truthforyouth.com.
My life is changed forever.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
So my name is Atara. I'm a senior and my major is psychology. I love Truett. There may be a lot of other schools out there. You can go to bigger schools. You can go to schools that's way far away from home. But in the end, one of the things that I've realized is that God called me here, and that's why Truett is the perfect place for me. And if God called you here, then it's the perfect place for you also.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
It will soon be illegal to slurp your Slurpee or sip your tea through a plastic straw in San Francisco. The Board of Supervisors passed the first reading of an ordinance that would ban restaurants, bars, and retailers from providing customers with plastic items, and that includes straws. One lawmaker told the San Francisco Chronicle the proposed law is about changing people's behavior, suggesting people really don't need to drink a glass of water with a straw. The Board of Supervisors says the number of plastic straws ending up in the landfill was staggering. Meanwhile, San Francisco is spending tens of millions of dollars clearing used needles and human waste from sidewalks, and yet city leaders have not introduced any legislation to address the drug epidemic. Maybe that's because they're more concerned about citizens stepping on plastic straws instead of dirty needles. I'm Todd Stearns.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. Let me expand on my ask before the break. I ran out of time. I asked you what you saw last night, and that was kind of an incomplete question. I was just musing with the staff. You know, I saw a rainbow last night, but that's really not the kind of call I'm looking for. I'm wondering, you know, what you saw in your state when you voted yesterday, what you observed on your local television stations from candidates, anything that you saw, anything special, any remark, comment, observation. As a person in your state or someone when watching television last night who might have caught something that we didn't all see. Just to talk about the election is what I'm interested in. And our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And before I go to the phones, let me just say, you know that we are happily participating with National Truth for Youth Bible Week and Engage Partnership. And the idea is to send a free Bible to some teen, maybe it's your teen, maybe it's you, who is willing to give that Bible, which is an illustrated version of the New Testament. It's got all kinds of helps for kids in terms of pornography, the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill, just talks about the kinds of moral dilemmas that our kids are facing. They're the same that we face. Actually, kids can't be kids anymore. They have to be adults, you know, almost in starting in preschool. They just can't have innocence. And so they have tremendous pressures in their schools. And this Bible offers them some guidance on how to read it and just the encouragement of God's Word, the truth, you know, in their hands. So it's Truth for Youth Bible Week. If you have a student between the ages of 13 and 18 who promise, or if you're one of those students, to hand this Bible to someone who is not a Christian or you think is struggling, maybe a person who claims to be a Christian but is struggling, then you can get one by just calling 800-733-4737. That's 800-733-4737. Or you can visit truthforyouth.com. You can order them anytime, truthforyouth.com. And you can also get this really cool wristband that says at hashtag number 6, and it's a reference to the sixth commandment, you shall not kill. So that's what we'd love to offer for you today, and I hope you'll get to the phones and order those, and let's change the world really in the deepest way. Elections are important, but this is more important and has more lasting, penetrable value in the culture, any culture, and in the world. 800-733-4737, 800-733-4737, or go to truthforyouth.com and order them any time of the day or night. One other race I need to tell you about before I go to the phones. In Missouri, you might remember that Senate Conservatives Fund joined us and told us about one of their candidates, Josh Hawley, in Missouri. The thing about Josh, he's 38, he's a graduate of Yale Law School, he's a former clerk for Chief Justice John Roberts. And he's a really strong candidate, and he won the primary last night handily in Missouri. Now, of course, he had 10 opponents, and he came out, I don't know what the percentage was, I don't see it in front of me, but I know he did very well. It was just hands down, he was the winner. He will run against incumbent Claire McCaskill. You know, Claire is I'll just frankly say, I think Claire McCaskill's a piece of work. She's a very clever politician. She comes from a political family. She was appointed to that seat some time ago. I think there was a death. The details escape me at the moment, but she's been in the seat for a long time. She is one of the persons that voted against the nomination of the last Supreme Court Justice Gorsuch. She's an opponent, certainly, of the president. She's trying to act like she isn't now. Trust me, she's no conservative. Claire is just... very troubling. Her record is very troubling. So he's going to have to face her. Of course, she's going to be well-funded. I'll read to you what Josh's campaign set out. They say, tonight, the conservative people of Missouri sent a message loud and clear to the Washington elites. Missouri sent a message in 2016, but Claire McCaskill was so comfortable in her Washington condo that she couldn't hear it. The hardworking people of our state voted in favor of conservative judges, middle-class tax cuts, more jobs, secure borders. Claire McCaskill didn't listen then, and she refuses to listen now. This fall, we have another chance to make our voices heard and send her home for good. Now, Claire McCaskill has challenged Josh to a series of one-on-one, unmoderated debates, and Josh is all in. So this is going to be an interesting race in Missouri. It is an opportunity for Republicans to pick up another Senate seat, but we'll see how that plays out. Because, again, Claire is a very clever politician. I've seen her prevail in times and places I didn't think she would, and she did. So we'll see what happens there. Okay, now I want to know what you saw, what your thoughts are about the election, maybe in your own state, maybe something else that you saw from another state that we might not have picked up, something you heard someone say. So let's talk. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Let's go to Keith in Michigan. Good morning, Keith.
Morning.
Are you happy today?
Oh, it's a great day today.
Okay, good.
So it's one thing I wanted to say is about your comment of Abdul el-Shahid and saying how the Muslims coming through the Brotherhood of infiltrating. One thing that was overlooked was Michigan is sending the first House of Representatives Muslim. Her name is Rashida Tlaib. She's from the 13th House District, and she won by about 4 or 5% over Brenda Jones. So I don't live in that area, so I didn't see it. But It's happening. And the 13th House District is in the Dearborn Heights.
Okay, so it's Dearborn. I was just going to ask you that. I was just going to ask you. So Dearborn is the hotbed of Muslim people living. Muslims concentrate themselves in Dearborn and Michigan, is what I'm trying to say. So
that is correct. That's yes, the largest percentage of population for Muslims.
Yeah.
In the United States.
You know what? I had heard about her race, but honestly, Keith, I'd forgotten about it in the process of covering everything else. But I forgot about, I didn't know what happened last night. I just knew there was another race where a Muslim was running. So that's very interesting. But otherwise, are you happy with the outcome with John James and with Bill Schuette?
Not too excited about Bill Schuette, but I'm glad that a Republican is going to go up against for the governor, against Gretchen Whitmer. I am very happy that John James won. I'm also a veteran, so I'm glad a veteran and somebody who's focusing on our military veterans and being able to support them and help them. But I think you're right. He is a very charismatic person, and he's going to give Debbie Stabenow a run for her money, which she has a whole lot of. So he's going to have a fight on his hands.
You know, but we saw, you know, when President Trump ran for president, he had so little money. He had, look, he's a billionaire. But compared to what was spent for Hillary Clinton, it was dwarfed, the amount of money he spent. We know that the people actually still have power. They have the power in the polls. And so I guess, Keith, the bottom line is that certainly conservative voters and conservative Christian voters especially need to take their civic duties seriously. They can make a difference in these races in spite of the money, in spite of it, and not it doesn't have to sway a race, even though it often does, because it sways them when people are lazy. They don't pay attention. They don't go to the polls. That's when money prevails, and they saturate the airwaves with commercials, and people get brainwashed, and they don't think. They go, oh, yeah, I've heard of that guy. I'll vote for him. That's kind of the way it works. And so, but an informed electorate, money doesn't make that much difference. So, Keith, great to hear from you. Thanks very much. Okay, let's go to Neil. Neil, are you in the 12th district?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm curious to know what you think.
Okay. Well, first of all, a couple of quick points. The first point I want to make is that I encourage everybody to go to the website whenever you're having an election and use the voter guide. Had more people done that, Troy Balderson wouldn't have been the candidate that we had to vote for. I'm glad Troy probably is going to win over Danny O'Connor, but I had to hold my nose and vote for him, and that's a sad situation.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing, Neil. You confirm my suspicions, because I didn't really follow that primary very much, and I don't know who the other candidates were, but I just knew in a broad way that Troy was not the conservative pick. So the 12th district, it's Columbus and other parts. And it was represented, of course, as you well know, by John Kasich, and before that, after that, Pat Tiberi. Would you characterize your district as conservative, or, how would you characterize it?
Well, from what I've been saying, the 12th district actually only encompasses part of Franklin County, where Columbus is. That's a heavily Democratic area, though, in the Franklin County and Delaware County. The rest of the district, there's, I think, seven or eight other counties in there, and the rest of those are pretty conservative, moderate conservative. Having said that, though, the Democrats in Columbus was what was carrying Danny O'Connor.
Do you think that would it be fair to think that Troy Balderson would have had more support had he been more conservative?
Oh, yes, I believe so. Yeah. A lot of my friends and from our church and so on and so forth. It was a matter of holding your nose and voting for him strictly because he was a Republican. My favorite in the primary was, and she rated the highest conservative, was Melanie Lenigan. And I remember you talking of her.
Yes. Right. She was the one who, now that you say that, I do recognize the name. She's the one who Jim Jordan did endorse, right?
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
They were looking at her as being the first or second female
Freedom Caucus. The Freedom Caucus.
Freedom Caucus, yes.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Well, Neil, it's great to hear from you, and thanks. I appreciate hearing from somebody in the 12th District. So thank you so much.
Thank you, and God bless you.
Okay, thank you. Same to you. Hey, Teresa, you're in Ohio 12th District also?
Hello?
Good morning, Teresa. You're in the 12th District also?
Hi. Yes, I am.
Okay, so...
And I just heard him, and I actually voted for Melanie, and she did not get in, of course. And there was all kinds of negative stuff on TV about her, by the way. The ads were, there was a lot of negative about her. She had this money. I can't remember off the top of my head. I wasn't prepared for that question.
Well, you know what, Teresa, hold on just a second. That's an example of where the money goes. You see, when candidates have a lot of money, they can pay for these ads that will smear and stick. And people that are not terribly engaged hear all that negative stuff. And sometimes it causes them to vote against a candidate. Sometimes it causes them just not to vote at all because they go, oh, that's so icky. So, I mean, a lot of money can tank really good people. There's no question about it. So, but that's not what you were going to say.
I've seen that a lot.
Yes, I know.
Well, what I was going to say, also, after Trump came, which I was going to go, and the person I was going to go with didn't show up. He got ill, so we didn't get to go, but I watched it on TV. And I had checked on Google after that to see if, like, anything had changed, you know, because sometimes they update that pretty quickly. And every time I put in Balderson, O'Connor would come up first.
Yeah.
And
yes.
It's like, come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Every time. I mean, mm-hmm. So it's set to where we can't even find what we want to find. I've also noticed on Facebook, people can't see anything I'm posting because I post a lot of political stuff. I post you. I post a lot of things off of AFR. And half the people are telling me, oh, I didn't see it. I'm not. So they're not seeing my stuff.
No, I listen,
and
Teresa.
I'm just a regular, I'm just a regular person. I'm not in the public eye or anything.
Well, they've got what they call algorithms set to figure out, you know, words for buzzwords and, you know, things that you're retweeting. And absolutely, it's like an all-out war. We're finding, like that, you may remember yesterday I talked about that Cambodian candidate in California, I think the 16th district, who has just got this incredible story. She worked in Washington. She graduated from Harvard, or Yale, I guess it was. And Facebook blocked her ads. That story of her life, they blocked it. And that's, listen, it's becoming epidemic.
That was on Laura Ingraham last night. And by the way, I agree with what Laura Ingraham's saying, that the Democrats are trying to make it to where nobody like Donald Trump is ever elected again.
That's right.
If we don't find a way to do something about this, we're in trouble big time.
Yeah, you know.
Because they're never going to hear anything.
That's right. They're trying to mute. What, they talk about Russian bots. It's not Russian bots they're after. It's voices like ours. That's what they're trying to silence, and it's amazing what's happening now. It's almost like this is really, I know I'll get in trouble for saying this, but I don't really care because it's like the Kristallnacht of the First Amendment. When Twitter, Facebook, and Google has been a little more neutral, but you know, we've been having conversations with them, and I think they've tried to sort of, help us a little bit or not be quite as biased. But when the social media giants and Twitter all band together to eliminate people, to shut their voices out.
Did you hear Laura Ingraham last night said that the director, I think it is the director of Twitter, is now the director of the Democratic Party?
I don't know about that, but I do know that his name is Jack and he's extremely liberal. If he took that post, I don't know about it, but I'm sure he's strongly affiliated. We know that the Democrats are working very hard to, in conjunction with these social media companies, to try to shut out our voices, and they may very well succeed. I have to say, just in this moment, it seems to me like, thank God for radio. We're just going to have to spread the word, certainly about radio. More people need to be listening to AFR Talk while we can still speak and get out the word. It may become the only way, besides newsletters and the old-fashioned ways of communicating, that we can actually get the word out. I'll be right back after this. Thanks a lot, Teresa.
and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. An off-Broadway production titled The Originalist is an engrossing and surprisingly even-handed portrait of the late conservative titan, Justice Antonin Scalia, in his element. It is a smart, challenging, and delightful portrayal. Upon entry, instead of a program or playbill, ushers hand attendees copies of the U.S. Constitution. It's hard to picture the most ardent regressives leaving this production without having gained respect and appreciation for Justice Scalia. So robust are his defenses of originalism that this play should be labeled a potential gateway drug to constitutional conservatism for regressives.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This is Brian Fisher with the Life and Liberty Minute. Pope Francis declared last week that the death penalty is inadmissible in all situations. Is he right? Here's what God says in Genesis 9, 5, and 6. I will require a reckoning for the life of man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image. Here, God delegates his authority to civil government to carry out the death penalty on anyone who murders a fellow human being created in God's image. This is how we demonstrate the ultimate value we place on human life. It's so valuable that if someone takes a human life without just cause, he must forfeit his own. It's time once again for our culture to let God and the scriptures be our guide.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
What if I told you that you could clean your family's laundry and help reach the next generation at the same time? That opportunity is here through a company called Redeem Clean. Every time you use Redeem Clean products, you help support the ministry of the American Family Association. In addition to your regular AFA giving, Redeem Clean laundry detergent allows you to increase your support of AFA just by continuing to wash your family's clothes. Redeem Clean products work as well as or better than other products on the market. They're environmentally safe, biodegradable, and they're made in the USA. And they were developed exclusively for the support of the American Family Association. For clean laundry and support of a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Learn more, find options, and order Redeem Clean products at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Arms control with tyrannical thugs like North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un has been compared to the phenomenon of second marriages, which the British wit Samuel Johnson once defined as, quote, the triumph of hope over experience, unquote. The promises made by the Kim dynasty have been a virtually unbroken litany of bad experiences that crushed high hopes. That certainly appears to be the case with respect to the pledges Little Rocket Man made about denuclearizing his country before and during the Singapore summit with President Trump. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and National Security Advisor John Bolton have confirmed little, if any, progress on that score has been made to date. So, it's time to start ratcheting up the pressure again, enforce sanctions, resume U.S. military exercises with South Korea, and tell its quisling president to stop appeasing Kim Jong-un. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. Just to follow up on my conversation just now, you know, the Sarah Young who was appointed to the New York Times editorial board, the one that hates white men and white people, who is so blatantly racist, and now she's on the editorial board of the New York Times. Her tweets are so vile, I can't even repeat them. And interestingly enough, Wikipedia has blacked them out so you can't see them. No mention. They've locked off her biography, which they never do for anyone, certainly not for a conservative. So that it can't be, no one can edit it and indicate that she is a racist. Can't do that. Going back in those tweets even more, she's claimed that President Trump is Hitler. Trump equals Hitler. I mean, she has said some vile things, and now she's going to be on the editorial board for the New York Times. She is on it. So contrast that with Candace Owens. Candace was that black conservative girl who was with Charlie Kirk of Turning Point USA in Philadelphia 2 days ago. We played a little bit of the screaming, loudspeaker screaming, the whistles blowing, the drums banging, the vile harassment that she and Charlie were, they were following her and Charlie around the country. Charlie's white. He's the founder of Turning Point. She's black, beautiful, conservative, and they're calling her a racist. So Candace pretty much mimics what this Sarah Young did on Twitter. She just changed a few words out and wrote the same kind of stuff, and she was banned from Twitter immediately, suspended, while Sarah Young was never suspended. Now Twitter finally fixed that, but that's just the way this is going. Also, you know, I mentioned that Elizabeth Heng, who is the Cambodian candidate for Congress, who has this incredible, compelling biography. She did this 3 or 4 minute video on her family, and so it was blocked by Facebook. So now Facebook is back down on that. These are good things, but this is good, but I think it's temporarily good. I don't think, I said earlier, and I'll say again, this is like the Kristallnacht of free speech, where suddenly Twitter and Facebook and others are eliminating accounts of people. They did it to Alex Jones. I know Alex, yes, you have to say, Alex is controversial. Yes, he is. So what? So what? They banned him. They've taken him down. They've banished him from all those platforms. He's part of InfoWars. And now they're going after, they went after several libertarians yesterday. The Ron Paul Institute director was one of them. There are others. So, it, you know, it's coming. And we're already seeing it, as we heard in that conversation. As you've seen, I've told you, my Facebook reach is very small compared to what it was. And I will repeat that if you want to know what we're posting on a daily basis, you need to go directly to the page. It will probably not come on your feed. Just won't. So go to Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook directly to see what we're posting. And then one other thing before I go back to the phone lines. So the Democrats are piling on this. They're, you know, they talk about Russian bots and how social media was used to elect Donald Trump. So that's their excuse for taking over the social media giants. Senator Mark Warner is calling for regulations, you know, and it's, trust me, it's not to help conservatives. As a matter of fact, the Senate now, Democrats are circulating plans for a government takeover of the internet. They're calling it the Reason Roundup. So I don't see the quote here, but one of the Democrats whose name I cannot remember, Chris was the first name, said something about we have to eliminate these people from social media in order to save the republic. So this is where we are, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why these races, these elections are so important. We are really on the precipice. You can see how close the votes are everywhere around the country. You can see that. That's why your vote, your voice matters. While we can still fight, we should fight. Now, there may become a time when I will say something different. I might say to you someday at this mic, God, I hope it doesn't happen, that it's too late and we're going to have to circle the wagons and encamp and do something differently, battle down the hatches, you know. We might have to do that at some time. We're not there. So are you going to roll over in defeat? Are you going to just, now look, and this is very controversial, but I'm going to say it. Are you going to say, well, God is sovereign and whatever happens, happens? Is that the theology that you hold? I do not think that's accurate. Theology, I can tell you right now. When did God ever teach his people to roll over and play dead and do nothing? Didn't he have them, you know, build walls and protect themselves? Didn't he have them fight? Didn't he have them speak the truth no matter what? Did he ever say, you know, I seem to remember there were people that believed God was really sovereign right after in the first chapter of Acts, where they didn't want to work, they didn't want to do anything, they just wanted to sit and wait for Jesus to come again. And they were rebuked. So I'm telling you, while you can, for the future of your children, for freedom, and freedom comes from God, not from man, for the freedom on this earth to flourish and live lives abundantly as God has promised, I recognize it's not tied to wealth or circumstances, but God wanted us to have abundant life. He created a perfect environment for Adam and Eve. where they were free to flow and enjoy this earth. And so I think that's what God has for us. Not that we selfishly indulge or that we corrupt ourselves with that, but that right balance of gratitude, love for God, and the freedoms and blessings that come from it. And so that's all. That's my speech for today. Let's go to Kansas with Margie. Good morning, Margie.
Good morning. I don't know where to start. There's just so much stuff that I'd like to say. I am startled this morning. Once again, we have made it through by the skin in our teeth year after year after year. We are purple. When you said that the other morning, it was like a total wake-up call. I knew it. I go out and campaign. They are trying to stop our voices, but you got a big mouth. Go out and use your big mouth. When I go out and campaign, I also try to teach people, tell people, bring up the past history of Kansas so that they realize that we have been targeted, are being targeted, and have been. This isn't just all of a sudden a big surprise that they're going after Kobach, saying the things that they're saying. This started years back when big farmers started coming into Kansas, well before that, but big farmers came into Kansas, wanted to take over, went to the Chamber of Commerce, started bullying around, wanting to take over the state and turn it to where it is. Now, it startles me when we have any Republican candidate that Farm Bureau, and yes, I'm saying it, that Farm Bureau endorses. That ought to tell you something. And I'm sorry, but even Bob Dole endorsing, he lost. He's a loser. That ought to tell you something. But if we don't step up in our state and push against this stuff, then we deserve what we get.
Well said, Margie. Yeah, that's, you know, and that's the case. Every district is different and every state is different. And so the circumstances are different, but the general theme is the same. Stand your ground wherever you are. You're going to have to fight, or you can, you know.
I'm a Kobach supporter, unapologetically a Kobach supporter. And two of the main issues are, I had a son that went to Hayes College. When he was going to college, there were all the Chinese, all the Mexicans, everybody in there getting less education for less. My son is working his way, graduated from college without any debt. And still, we want to give away our education, our state, our secrets to the Chinese, to everybody. Why? Why aren't we helping our kids with that money instead of helping everybody else?
Well, you know, that's the globalist movement, Margie, in part. That's part of the goal. You know, I have to say that the Republican Party, this is very controversial too, but I believed it for a long time, sort of sold its soul to a big business, open borders globalists, and it became like a sort of like a holy grail of free trade. But it wasn't really free trade. It was more trade that benefits corporate interests, not that benefits the national interests. And it was like national interests then became icky. We became xenophobes. How dare you think about your country, your family first? You should think about the world, because if you think about the world, it helps our bottom line. And so that's what happened with the Republican Party. They became very rich and wealthy, and they helped wealthy interests. And that includes the chamber, probably includes the Farm Bureau. I don't know, because all I remember about the Farm Bureau, Margie, was being in 4-H when I was a little girl. I don't think it was that way when I was a little girl. But everything is being corrupted, and so it's up to people who have a sense of justice and righteousness to reinstate, to say, no, here's the line, and we've crossed it, and we're pulling it back. And so that's what we're trying to do, and look, we have a lot to be grateful for in yesterday's election. Conservatives do, I think. So for right now, we still have a chance of pulling the country back, and we just need to be more like you, Margie, engaged and really fighting. Hey, listen, thanks. It's great to hear from you. Let me go to Eric in Texas. Good morning, Eric.
How you doing today?
I'm good. What's up, Eric?
Oh, not much. I just want to say, with the Republican Party being no different from the Democrat Party for the last 30 years, and with spending going out of control, how can you continue to keep supporting it?
Well, because I think the Republican Party, look, I've never been a partisan, honestly, Eric. It's not party that I push, but I would tell you that the people that I do support, they're all Republicans, because within the Republican Party, the platform is phenomenal. And for those candidates that embrace the platform, which is, you know, pro marriage between one man and one woman, it's pro life, it's small government, it's the antithesis of what the leadership of the party actually practices. So there are people in the party who actually believe and embrace those principles, and President Trump has implemented many of those platform principles. So in so much as that is the case, that's why I continue to support Republicans. Does that answer your question?
Well, no, and if we keep continuing supporting the problem, Sandy, we're going to come to a point where there's no money left in this country and we're going to be in big trouble.
Oh, I agree with you, Eric. Maybe I haven't said it enough, but I think that it's obscene. It's obscene the way they're spending our money. These budgets that Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan have agreed to, you have heard me say that, I trust, are absolutely obscene. We have to get them out. I'm at war with them all the time. Surely you must know that. And they are Republicans. Yeah, so we have to be able to discern. It really isn't, it's very, politics is, some people hate it. I don't hate it. I guess I've always had an interest in politics. My parents talked about it at the table when I was growing up. I've traveled the world, and politics affects each and every one of our lives. You can't absent yourself from it, or you can, and this is the mess you get yourself into when a country and its citizens are asleep at the wheel, enjoying their, lattes. This is what happens. So we have to reengage and be smart. You know, by the way, in Texas, I just read that Senator Cruz has asked President Trump to come down and stump for him in his tough race against Beto O'Rourke. So I just thought you'd find that interesting. I do, because you remember President Trump treated Ted Cruz very badly in the primary, and they haven't had a great relationship. So Senator Cruz is asking him now to come down and help him. So that'll be interesting. Eric, I'm sorry, but I have to move on. Let's go to Daniel in Louisiana. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning.
So what's up?
Hi. I have a quick comment and question. My comment is about Senator Al Franken's race in the past. You said it was swayed by Fallon. Jay Christianaz was talking to you. And so I think that should be recalled, and he should, his opponent should actually win by default, and the Obamacare could possibly even be taken away as a result. My question is about Louisiana's primary election, midterm election. I looked online, and it was in November, and I was just wondering why it was not before that. And I think there's one after that in December, so I'll hang up and let you take it away. Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Enjoy your show.
Thank you, Daniel. Well, you think too much of me. I didn't even think I know that. I really don't know. I don't know why Louisiana doesn't have its primary to November. Every state is different. And, you know, in a way, that's a good thing, because that means that we don't have federal regulation and control over all of our elections. That's why the hair stood up on the back of my neck when Jay Johnson, the director of Homeland Security under President Obama, started talking about nationalizing the elections. No. We do not want the federal government handling each state's election. So even though it's weird, be grateful that Louisiana is unique. Every state is unique, handles their own elections the way they do things, at different rules. And even though it may be confusing, it's actually very healthy. The federal government should not be involved. Just think of, all the other things they're running and how poorly they're going. We do not want them to run our elections or control them, by the way, because we don't trust them. I'm sorry I couldn't get to all the calls. It's so nice to hear from you. And for today, I think we have things to be grateful for. So, thank you for listening, and thank you for voting and really caring about your country. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.